Let me ask you this, friends. Do you have a desire and a hunger for the character of Christ in your life? Are you mourned when it's not there? Do you mourn when you don't act like Jesus? I hope you do. I hope when you fail that you're going, man, Lord, please forgive me. We want to do the right. We want to. We have an inward desire from the Spirit of God.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your message today should make all of us stop and evaluate how we're living.
Yes, it should, Dave, because our message today has to do with what we hunger and thirst for on a daily basis. And what am I talking about? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 to find out.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
The Greek noun, dikaiosune, which is related to the adjective dikaios, which is translated righteous usually, which is related to the verb dikaiao, which is translated justify, which means to be made righteous. Whenever you see the term justify or justified, it is the same word righteous, but it's a verb. It's being made righteous or justified, okay? Now, in the Old Testament, we have the word which is similar, zadik, which speaks of being that which is upright or right. And that's what righteousness speaks of, being upright or right. Now, we need to understand this word in its biblical context. I want to share some passages that speak of righteousness, which will help us understand what hungering and thirsting for righteousness really looks like. You see, we're going to see that God by nature is righteous, and he acts righteously, and his word is righteous. Indeed, in Scripture, the term righteous and righteousness used over 600 times. That's a lot. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go through 600 verses, but I want to share a couple which will help us. First of all, in Scripture, God is described as righteous. You can note these down. Don't feel like you have to turn there, but if you're fast in your Bible, go for it. But I'm going to go through these here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, and this is Moses' song. He says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice." Notice these words around what he says. Righteous and upright is he. He's just, and he's without injustice. He's righteous and upright. The psalmist declares his righteousness, Psalm 11, verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous and he loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face." Psalm 116, 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous." Yes, our God is compassionate. Psalm 119, 37, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments." God is righteous. He is righteous. John makes it clear that there is no unrighteousness in him, John 7, 18. Jesus makes it clear in his high priestly prayer that the Father is righteous. O righteous Father, John 17, 25. The Apostle John makes it clear that God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, 1 John 1, 9. And Scripture also reveals that Jesus Christ, being God in human flesh, is righteous. Isaiah 53, Jesus is described as the righteous one, 53:11. In Jeremiah, he is described as the righteous branch, Jeremiah 23:5 and 33:15. Peter calls Jesus the holy and righteous one, Acts 13:14. The Apostle John makes it clear that Jesus Christ is righteous. 1 John 2, "My little children, I'm writing you these things that you may not sin." God's word helps us not sin, by the way. He says here, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." 1 John 2:29, "If you know that he is righteous, then everyone who also practices righteousness is born of him." Scripture is clear that God by nature is upright and just and righteous. And Christ, being fully God in human flesh, is by nature righteous. He is the holy and righteous one. And so God is righteous, but notice we also see in Scripture, his ways are righteous. What he does is righteous. In Samuel's farewell address, he reminds the Israelites of the Lord's righteous acts. First Samuel chapter 12. Let's turn there. First Samuel chapter 12. So God is righteous and what he does is righteous, right? First Samuel chapter 12 verse 6. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. So now take your stand that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did for you and for your fathers." All the righteous acts. Everything he did is righteous. We see in Psalm 7:11 that God is a righteous judge. He has indignation every day. God is a righteous judge. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul speaks of the righteous judge. "In the future is laid up for a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." He's a righteous judge. In Psalm 103, verse 6, the Lord performs righteous deeds. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we see the Lord loves righteousness. Hebrews 1, verse 8, "But of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God," perfect verse to show that the Son is God, by the way, "is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom." Hebrews 1, 9, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness." In Revelation chapter 15, we see that righteous and true are his ways, and his acts will be revealed. This brings about worship. Revelation chapter 15, "And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways." It's all upright. "Thou King of the nations, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou alone art holy. For all the nations will come and worship before thee, for thy righteous acts have been revealed." God has revealed his righteous actions in his word. So God by nature is righteous, and he does what is right. And lastly, we see in the scriptures that his word is righteous. We see his word is morally righteous. It is upright. Deuteronomy 4 verse 8, it says, "Oh, what a great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as the whole law which I am sending you today." Psalm 119, a bunch of passages here I'll share. "I shall give thanks to thee with the uprightness of heart," verse 7, "when I learn thy righteous judgments." Psalm 119:62, "At midnight I shall rise up and give thanks to thee because of thy righteous ordinances." They're upright. Psalm 119:123, "My eyes fail for longing for thy salvation and for thy righteous word." Psalm 119:37, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy testimonies." Verse 144, "Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live." Psalm 119:160, wonderful verse, "The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting." And we know from 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So we have a righteous God, morally upright God who does righteous things, and his word is righteous. And so true biblical righteousness cannot be separated from a righteous God. Now, the problem is man, apart from the living God, by nature is unrighteous or self-righteous. Psalm 143, "Hear my prayer, O Lord God, give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight no man living is righteous." Romans 3, he says, "There's none righteous, not even one." And then we have those who think their actions are righteous when they're not. Isaiah 64, 6, "For all of us become like one who's unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment." The reality is the righteous things we've done apart from God are not righteous at all. They're not. Mankind has a problem being unrighteous. Yet often mankind thinks he is righteous. Sadly. We see this with the Pharisees. "Woe to you," Jesus said, Matthew 23, verse 27, "Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, with the outside appear beautiful, but the inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Even so, you appear outwardly righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." In Proverbs 30, verse 12, the writer says, "There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, and yet is not washed from his filthiness." all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, filthy garment. So how do unrighteous, unholy people become righteous? You see, the righteousness of God has been revealed in the gospel. And you see, we who are unrighteous can be righteous through faith in the righteous one. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, God who took on human flesh, to be sin on our behalf. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans 3, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. Unrighteous man becomes righteous through faith in Jesus. We receive his righteousness, but yet we all quickly understand that our deeds are not always righteous. We are righteous in position. We have a righteous standing because of Jesus. And folks, when we believe, it results in righteousness. But again, the reality is we recognize very quickly that we're not righteous in our actions. But don't forget, God sees us as righteous in Christ. You know, in Scripture, we see that we are called righteous ones. Psalm 32, verse 11. Psalm 33, O righteous ones, praise is becoming. Psalm 97, be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones. See, there's no one righteous apart from those who have received the righteousness through faith in Christ, or the seed of Abraham, we see here, which who would die for their sins, and did die for their sins and ours. So here, we see that God sees us as righteous. But again, this brings us back to our passage. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Well, wait a second. How does that work if I'm righteous already? As we've understood, when we come to faith in Jesus, our souls are redeemed and we are righteous, but yet we have this body of sin that is not righteous yet. And we have a choice to follow our flesh, rely on our flesh, trust in our flesh, or to rely on God by His Spirit. And if we are righteous, we're going to manifest His character. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is. We know the Word of God trains us in righteousness, right? And we know the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, Titus 2:11, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So when you come to faith in the living God, He gives you a hunger for practical righteousness, that I would do the right thing, and I mourn over it when I do the wrong thing. I'm hungering and thirsting, but I'm not there yet. I haven't reached that. I am not there, so I am hungering and thirsting. And you are blessed if that is what you do, if you hunger and thirst for His righteousness. You're blessed. Non-believers don't hunger and thirst for a true righteousness from God. They don't hunger and thirst for that. One pastor writes, as we think about growing in righteousness, we're really considering how to become more like Jesus. We should be hungering and thirsting for the Word of God and the character of God. What a tragedy to see Christians chasing around after experiences when the Word of God says that we are to have an insatiable appetite for His character and righteousness, which is produced in us when we're absorbed in the Word of God as the Spirit of God transforms us in every area of our lives. I agree with that. Now, you're not going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. You're going to be dulled in that if you're maybe a believer, but maybe sin's gotten in the way. We need to be in the Word of God, that we would grow in respect to salvation. 1 Peter 2. That we would grow in respect to salvation. Therefore, putting aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you're really saved. I venture to say, if you're not in the Word of God, you could care less about righteousness. But just say that. You might say you do, but you don't. You see, if you're living in continual habitual sin, don't fool yourself. You're just living in the context of your nature. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. But brothers and sisters, we can become hardened by sin. God will discipline us. We need to confess. We need to repent. He who confesses and forsakes will find compassion. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Let me ask you this, friends. Do you have a desire and a hunger for the character of Christ in your life? Are you mourned when it's not there? Do you mourn when you don't act like Jesus? I hope you do. I hope when you fail that you're going, man, Lord, please forgive me. We want to do the right. We want to. We have an inward desire from the Spirit of God to be righteous, although we're not there. You see, the Jews would have thought they were righteous, but they weren't. And Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Tremendous reality. Those who've been redeemed, who have a true hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, will be satisfied. You're never going to get there. There's no perfection. If you go to church and say there's perfection, there's not perfection now. That's a lie, because then you're not blessed anymore because you're not hungry and thirsty because you think you made it. The reality is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You realize you need it and you're not there. Lord, at my work, my attitude's not good. Help me have a right attitude. Lord, help me have this. Help me. Lord, forgive me when that's wrong. Forgive me here. Help me love my spouse. Help me do my work heartily unto you and not unto men, Lord God. Help me to be righteous. His word reveals righteousness, by the way. It reveals how we are to act towards our spouses. It reveals how we are to act towards one another. It reveals how we are to think towards God. It reveals how we are to work in the working relationship. It reveals everything. Lord, help me. And if you realize you need it and you're not there, then you're in a good place. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And notice he says, for they shall be satisfied. Now, in Greek, it's not a typical word for. There's different ways that are translated in these conjunctions. But here, it is a conjunction that means literally because. It's not just an explanation. It is a causative. It gives the reason. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness because you're going to be satisfied. It's going to happen. The term satisfied here means eating to one's fill. You know, if you are hungering and thirsting, you're not eating to your fill. When you eat to your fill, you are satisfied, right? Those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness are blessed because they are his, and he will fulfill that desire completely. This is a future promise. It says here, they shall be satisfied. It's not completely fulfilled until the work of salvation is done when we are glorified. I can't wait. We will no longer sin. We will always manifest in our words and deeds his righteousness. Is that amazing? I can't even fathom that, but God says it's going to happen. I praise the Lord. He'll make you like Christ, and you'll be satisfied. Philippians chapter 1, for I am confident in this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, and see, this is what we should be doing. We should be yearning for that day. We should not be comfortable right now. Yes, you can enjoy life God has given you. Praise the Lord. Read Ecclesiastes, but this is not it. Fear the Lord and keep his word, right? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a second. The Savior, I was already saved. Well, when you trusted in Jesus, you were saved from the penalty of sin. And right now we are being saved from sin in a sense that we're being sanctified, and we will be completely separated and saved from sin when we're glorified. He says here, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power that he has even to subject all things to himself. We're going to be changed. And that's going to be amazing. You will be satisfied. You hunger for it. And you realize you're not there, but you want to be there. Look forward to it. It's coming. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And this should be on our mind. You know, yes, we mourn over our sin, but we should be thankful that he's going to satisfy it, that we hunger for it. I want to do the right thing next time, Lord God. Help me. Help me be kind and gentle and humble and faithful. Help me to obey your word in relationship to my spouse, to my work, to the church, to those around me. Help me obey your word. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Hunger, hunger, right? Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. That he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Hey, it's a done deal. We're going to be glorified. You're going to be satisfied. And we're looking for a new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. Guess who's dwelling there? We are. We're looking forward to it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And when we're glorified, guess what? We're going to shine forth like the sun. Matthew 13, the Son of Man will send forth his angels. They will gather out of the kingdom all the stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and cast them in the fiery furnace, first furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be, or because they shall be satisfied. Well, there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians. And today we've seen the Lord Jesus reveal the nature of those who are blessed, the spiritually bankrupt, those who mourn over their sin, those who are allowing his character to be manifest, his gentleness, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So how does this apply to us today? Well, some of you might realize that you never ever have hungered thirst for righteousness. You never hungered for it. You never thought of it. You never cared. Maybe the Lord is revealing to you that you're not righteous yet. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Call out to Christ. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You will be declared righteous. And then he will start the process of making you like his son Jesus. And you will lack the completion. You will hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that will realize, you'll realize you're blessed because he's going to glorify you. What about us, brothers and sisters? Maybe we realize that the deceitfulness of sin has crept in. Maybe it's an attitude. Ephesians chapter 4 is to believers. Talks about don't let the sun go down in your anger. You know, even irritation by that time. You give Satan a place. Maybe you've done that towards someone else. You're no longer acting like Christ towards them. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a person. Whatever it might be, confess it. Be restored. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Get into God's word. That's where you find out his righteous standards. And then you realize it's only Christ that can enable you to do it. And trust in him with all your heart. And if you're in a church that's not focused on Christ through his word, you're focused on worship and singing and all that stuff and signs and tongues, whatever it might be, pursue the right things with those who call upon the name of the Lord with a pure heart. Get in with a group of believers that are pursuing Christ, not the junk on the side. I want to share a couple passages to finish up here. 1 Timothy 6:11, but flee these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee, you fools, and pursue righteousness. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things should be added. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously in this present age. What are you pursuing? Yes, we have desires. God's given us different things. We have fleshly desires. We have biblical desires. But what is underneath those desires? What do you pursue?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message?
Well, Dave, the one thing we need to take away from this message is, where do you stand before the Lord? Are you blessed because you've been changed and you hunger and thirst for his righteousness? Or do you hunger and thirst for your own desire on a daily basis? Well, if the latter is true for you, then maybe you don't know the Lord, but God is so good to reveal himself to you. Turn to the Lord Jesus, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.
Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and you'll receive his righteousness. Then on a practical basis, he will begin the process of conforming you to his image.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.